They'll hear that in Hungary pretty soon. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. We looked at these verses a little bit last week. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We have, again, this constant contrast in the book of Hebrews that the author, I believe is Paul, is giving to these Hebrew Christians of the contrast between looking to Christ versus looking away from Christ or looking to the world. We have the contrast of looking to the law and to Mount Sinai and the contrast to looking to Christ. And we are encouraged. It says to look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. And so we have the contrast here between looking to Christ and looking to the world like Esau. Notice it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Now, when we think about Esau, the Bible is contrasting to looking to Christ and to the grace of God available in Christ versus the example of Esau, who forsook God's grace and looked away from God and suffered this great loss. And of course, again, the picture, these Hebrew Christians, there is the dilemma. Will you look to Christ or will you look away from Christ? Look away from Christ and look to Judaism. And so there is a contrast of who they're going to look to. And let's think about Esau a little bit. Genesis 27. Actually, we're going to look, start in verse 20, chapter 25, and we have Jacob and Esau. And in verse 29, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Now, the birthright gave you a double inheritance. Gave you a double inheritance. And it also meant that you were to be take on the spiritual leadership of your family. Take on the spiritual leadership of the family. Now, that was very significant. Now, as I think about that thought, you know, we still, you know, there's young men here. And you know what? God has given them the responsibility to be a spiritual leader. That is their God-given job. The husband is the head of the wife. He is supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. He has given the Christian husband the job of being the spiritual leader of the family. Esau was confronted with that issue. Are you the firstborn? Will you be the spiritual leader of the family? Will you take your role? And we know the whole plan of God in all of this. But will you take your role as the spiritual leader, as the spiritual high priest of the family? What did he say? What was he doing? He was out hunting. He was out hunting. And in this case, it wasn't just hunting. It was a choice. I'm a hunter. And that comes before God. That was the problem. And so Jacob, he wasn't more godly than Esau, but he was more spiritually minded. He understood the value of things. He wasn't all that he ought to be, but he understood what was important in life. And of course, we know that God had something to do with this. And so he comes from the field and he says, "Boy, I am so hungry. I'll give you anything for some food." And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright. Let me be the spirit, take the spiritual leadership of the family." Now with that spiritual leadership also came the double inheritance, physical, financial inheritance. Okay? And so Jacob said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? What good is this? Boy, the only thing that bothers me, I care about right now, is my stomach, my hunger." And he says, "Big deal, the birthright. Big deal, the birthright." And you know, a lot of young men and a lot of dads, you know what? That's exactly how they think. Big deal about spiritual leadership. Big deal about taking my responsibility to be a spiritual man. Big deal about being a godly dad and about a godly influence and putting God first. Big deal. I'm just all about having fun. I'm just all about living my own life. Boy, this is pretty serious. You know, it says that Esau was a fornicator. You know what it means? First of all, in the Bible, fornication means to put someone ahead of God. To be unfaithful to your duty to God and to give your allegiance to someone else. And then it says he was profane. That word profane comes from a Latin word, means to be against the temple. He was against God. You know, you think about that and we say, how is Esau against God? Well, you know, what do you do? What do people do? What do young people do? What do young men do? God says, hey, you're supposed to be a spiritual man. You're supposed to be a spiritual leader in your family. And you are responsible for your children that they be godly. And young men, and many times dads, they say, I'm against that. No. No. Well, isn't that being against God? Isn't that being against God? And that's what Esau was. The Bible says he was unfaithful to God, and he was profane. And he sold his soul for a mess of pottage. He sold his soul for a mess of pottage. Well, what is a mess of pottage? It's just, you know, it's just something that very temporarily satisfies, isn't it? You know, isn't it amazing? You can eat lunch, and you know maybe at supper you're hungry again, right? If you're a teenager, you might eat lunch, and 1 hour you're hungry again. Okay, well that food is only temporarily satisfies. And here's the thing, and so now, what happens to Esau? He loses the blessing, doesn't he? He loses the blessing, and he could never get it back. He could never get it back. Now, the picture here is, again, the picture of the Jewish people. And what are they going to do with Jesus Christ? What are they going to do with Jesus Christ? And really, the option is a little bit less physical persecution, a little bit less rejection by their families, a little bit less difficulty in their earthly life because they were very religious people. And they were going to give up something they were going to give up something eternal, Christ, for something that was very insignificant. And, of course, the Lord is using Esau as an example. And what happens... Typically, it's kind of interesting that the other parallel here is what happens to the person who forsakes the spiritual for temporary earthly things. What did Esau do? He became bitter, didn't he? And kind of in our context, you know, here's the big issue. Does life turn out well for those who turn their back on God? Does life turn out well for those who turn their back on God? No. And many times those people become very bitter people, don't they? Become very bitter people. But life doesn't turn out well for those who turn their back on God. And you know, you might as well throw away the TV and all the lies and how, you know, that life of sin is just so wonderful. And how, you know, throw away your worldly magazines that tell you about the trophy fish is the best thing that you could ever have in life. It's empty. It's empty. And it's definitely empty when that is put in front of God. When it's put in front of God. And so we have the warning. Look diligently. Open your eyes. That's kind of what it's saying, right? Open your eyes. You know, I know that there's still a place in McQuonigle called Bookerville. Anybody know where Bookerville is? Okay. Well, my wife used to take our kids bus visiting to Bookerville. And every Saturday, they'd go to Bookerville. Well, Bookerville was a bunch of shacks, cottages alongside a tavern. And it was a lot of people who spent a lot of time drinking and drugs, and they were living in these shacks. And, you know, there's a benefit of taking our kids over there. It was helping them see how life is for people without the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes people need to go, young people need to go down to downtown Milwaukee and just see how wonderful life is without the Lord. Yeah. It's not too good. And Esau certainly is an example of that person who chose the pleasures of this world, chose the things of this world, and refused to take the spiritual leadership of his family. And despised that, okay? And yet that's one of the greatest things that is around, is men need to understand that God has given them a very important job to be the spiritual leader of their home. And to refuse that is to be like Esau. Be like Esau. And think of the result of Esau's life and what he represents in the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the truth in the Bible. And Lord, there are many, many people today who are refusing to take up the spiritual leadership and role, headship that they have been given by being a man or by being a husband or by being a father. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will take that seriously. I pray that any man that is here that has not taken that under their wing to decide that they're going to be the spiritual leader that they ought to be, that they will recognize that this is a very, very important role given to us by God. I pray that young people would realize that choosing the ways of the world and not choosing to be what they ought to be for God is to follow in the path of Esau and will bring great tragedy in their families and great tragedy in their lives. And they will even become people who are against the things of God because it interferes with their life and their fun. And I pray that, Lord, that they will look within their own hearts to see that the devil is deceiving them, deceiving them to choose something fleshly and temporary and rejecting that which is eternal and important. And so, Lord, use this example of Esau even as we think of it tonight. And, Lord, might there be a yielding to your plan through the Lord Jesus in our lives and his claim on our life. And we pray in Jesus' name.